I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Sally Keston of AVL Watchdog. Sally, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
So tell us about the story. You looked at some statistics about arrests in Asheville, particularly what would be considered nonviolent lower-level arrests. Let's talk about that first. So some of the things, that for you, the numbers that you found through this analysis, what numbers did you see particularly around arrests and arrests of Black people in Asheville?
So, right, we did look at lower-level offenses, crimes in which police officers have, some discretion to charge people. In more violent, serious crimes, robbery, murder, of course, those things, officers have to make an arrest if they have a suspect and strong evidence. In these lower-level offenses, there is wide latitude given to officers in situations where someone might be causing a disruption or being a nuisance or even talking back to an officer, not obeying his or her commands. And those are the kind of crimes that are highly discretionary, that officers have the choice, really, to as to whether or not to make an arrest and charge someone. And those are the offenses that we looked at. And so what we found, Asheville's African-American population is 12%. And yet, among all of the trespassing charges, these are all misdemeanor offenses, African-Americans accounted for 39% of the arrests. For disorderly conduct, it was 40%. For resisting an officer, which, by the way, can just be a verbal disagreement, does not necessarily need to be physical, African-Americans were 36% of those arrests. And for alcohol violations, like having an open container of alcohol in a public place, they accounted for 20% of the arrests. We also looked at marijuana possession. And the reason we did is because that's one charge that really should mirror the population, because studies have shown that there really is no difference in marijuana usage between the white population and African Americans. But in Asheville, what we found was 39% of the marijuana possession charges were African Americans.
Right. And you look at some of the other numbers that are within this analysis that you all did, and it includes just traffic stops. Asheville police, a higher traffic stop rate than the rest of the state, but a much, much, much higher search of Black motorists than white motorists. And again, you look at the numbers, look at other cities across North Carolina, some similarly sized. Tell us a bit about those numbers.
So all police agencies in North Carolina have to report their traffic stop data. And so we looked at the percentage of traffic stops and the racial breakdown of those. And in Asheville, African-American motorists are three times more likely to be searched after they're pulled over by an officer than whites. And in comparison to other cities, we looked at, all the 12 largest cities in North Carolina, of which Asheville is one, but there's some much larger cities in there as well. And Asheville had the highest search rate for African-American motorists of all 12 cities for 3 years in a row. This was 2019, 2018, and 2017, quite a bit higher than the other cities. So we really stood out in that regard.
You also note in the article that David Zack, the new police chief of Asheville, who's been chief since February, is the fifth police chief in 9 years in Asheville. How does this fit in? How does that turnover rate fit into addressing these numbers in any way? Because I think a lot of people would know that these numbers have existed for some time, but they have not seemed to change at all in Asheville over this time period.
These numbers have existed for quite a while, and it's something that not only previous police chiefs, but the city council has been aware of for some time. The NAACP and other activists brought this to the attention of the city council back as early as 2016 in terms of the traffic stop disparities. So they were aware back then, and then after the 2017 beating that was recorded on the body camera footage of the Black resident Johnny Rush by white police officers, there was more of an attempt to be open and more transparent with the public about police activities. And that's when they started publishing arrest data. They post that on their website. They post traffic stop analyses. So there's been an attempt to at least be more open as far as posting data, but there really hasn't been much change in the numbers. I mean, we looked at arrest data since the city council first took this up several years ago, and there really wasn't any change for some of these offenses like marijuana possession. The percentage of African Americans arrested in the past 2 years was even higher than it had been before. So it is certainly possible that this turnover of police chiefs and the inconsistency in management has been one factor. The new chief, David Zack, has said publicly and told us that he is eliminating the drug suppression unit. He believes that was one reason or one factor that contributed to some of these high arrest rates. He's also emphasizing that he doesn't want officers out arresting people on the lower level offenses. He wants to concentrate on property and violent crimes. So he's certainly aware of these disparities and saying that those are, those two main reforms, he believes will turn the data around.
Looking forward with these numbers, City Council is going to take up a full budget later this summer into fall that will possibly be cutting the police department's budget. We've heard the defund the police message from the protesters earlier this month. Where does this data fit into what City Council might be doing next?
I think it all contributes to this overall philosophy. What do we want as a community? What does the city council want from its police department, and how we enforce the laws that are on the books? And what do we really want police to pay attention to? And how can we get some of this? What the experts I spoke to and told the num and went over with the numbers on some of these arrest data. They said that it looks like it's racial profiling. It looks like it's discriminatory policing. So the question is, how is City Council to get rid of that and how it polices this community? And that's really a big question. It's a philosophical question and a change in the way that the police approach law enforcement in this community. And that's got to be front and center in some of these discussions on where do we go, not just with funding, but with philosophy and mentality of the police department in terms of how we enforce these laws and how we enforce them in an equitable way so that all people of all races are treated fairly.
That's all my questions. Anything else you'd like to add?
It was interesting to us. We thought this was very important data to answer to, not just by the police chief and the city manager, but by our elected leaders. What does city council say about how the police department has potentially selectively enforced the laws here in Asheville? It seems like it couldn't be more of an important topic. And yet, when we reached out to all seven city council members, we asked for an interview with all seven, and we gave them several days. So that if they had scheduling conflicts, that we would be sure we gave them ample opportunity. And of those seven, only one agreed to talk about this. A couple of them didn't respond at all, and the others asked for questions in writing and wanted to see to do an interview by email, which we declined to do. But I thought that was very interesting that only one city council member was willing to even get on the phone and talk about this.
Okay, and worth noting the council member you did get is Vijay Kapoor, and he is leaving his seat in the coming weeks.
That's right. He is on his way out, and he is the only one that responded and agreed to be interviewed.
Sally Keston of AVL Watchdog, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.